fourth, the fourth characteristic, the three Dharma seals. The three Dharma seals, three characteristics of existence, is an important doctrine of Buddhism. The three Dharma seals can determine whether a certain Buddhist teaching is the ultimate truth. The three Dharma seals are like the official stamp by which we recognize the authenticity of everyday merchandise. Any doctrine that is not in accordance with the three Dharma seals is not the complete teaching, even if the Buddha taught it. On the other hand, any doctrine that is in accordance with the three Dharma seals is genuine Dharma, even if the Buddha did not personally teach it. The three Dharma seals are as follows. All composite things, samskaras, are impermanent. All dharmas do not have a substantial self, and nirvana is perfect equanimity. The three are used together to prove the genuineness of the dharma. Therefore, they are called the three Dharma seals. 1. All composite things are impermanent. All composite things refer to all forms and actions of this world. According to the doctrine of Buddhism, none of these forms or actions are permanent. This impermanence can be illustrated by the following 2 points. Number 1. The three periods of time flow continuously without stopping. This shows that all composite things are impermanent. Number 2. All dharmas arise because of causes and conditions. Thus, they are impermanent. What does it mean when we say that the three periods of time flow continuously? The three periods of time is defined as time in the past, present, and future. From the viewpoint of time, all phenomena are impermanent because they do not remain unchanged even for an instant. They arise and cease within each movement. The dharmas of the past are already extinct. The dharmas of the future have not come into being yet. The dharmas of the present become extinct as soon as they arise. Thus, all dharmas are impermanent. Why do we say that all dharmas arising due to causes and conditions are impermanent? Since all dharmas are formed by the combination and unity of different causes and conditions, when the necessary causes and conditions disintegrate, the dharmas will cease to exist. Since causes and conditions are impermanent, any dharma that arises from cause and conditions is impermanent as well. For example, a human being is reborn due to his or her past karma. From birth to death, and death to birth, lives perpetually move through the past, present, and future. Life is truly impermanent. The functioning of our mind is also impermanent. Our thoughts, constantly rising and ceasing, change every moment. Likewise, all dharmas of this universe also arise and cease from moment to moment. Their existence is a continuous process. The worldly phenomena of arising, abiding, changing and extinction, the seasonal change of spring, summer, autumn and winter, and the life cycle of birth, aging, sickness and death all continue like a flowing river. Nothing ever remains unchanged in this continuous flux. We usually divide human feelings into 3 types: pleasant feelings, unpleasant feelings, and feelings that are neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Of course, unpleasant feelings are suffering, dukkha. However, pleasant feelings are also suffering because there is the suffering of decay. For example, health and beauty will give rise to pleasant feelings, but the loss of health and beauty can cause suffering to arise. Feelings that are neither happy nor unhappy bring us suffering because of change. Examples of these kinds of feeling are those caused by the passing of time, the shortness of life, and the impermanence of all phenomena. All these perpetual changes bring people unbearable anguish. This is the suffering of impermanence. This is why the Buddhist teachings state that because all composite things are impermanent, all feelings are suffering. 2. All dharmas do not have a substantial self. Earlier, when we touched on the statement, all composite things are impermanent, we discussed that nothing is permanent from the viewpoint of time. Now, if we take a look from the viewpoint of space, nothing can exist independently. Human beings like to cling to the self and believe that I, or myself, exists. My head, my body, my thoughts, my parents, my spouse and children. We develop this clinging to the self towards what we believe is ourselves. Consequently, we become overly protective of our own property and develop the idea of clinging to one's surrounding objects. We tend to look at this world with I as the center of the universe, as if nothing would exist without I. However, according to the rational, penetrating perspective of the Buddha's teachings, there is actually no such thing as a permanent and independent self. Why? For any entity to be called self, it should fulfill four requirements. This entity must be permanent, in control, unchanging, and independent. Let us now consider the human body, the entity that we tend to think of as I. From the moment of birth and continuing for the several decades in a person's lifetime, the human body is perpetually undergoing physiological changes of birth and death as it grows, matures, and ages. How then can it be permanent and unchanging? Formed through the combination and unity of the four great elements and five aggregates, the human body comes to be when the necessary conditions for such unity are present and ceases to exist when such conditions are no longer present. How then can it be in control? The human body is where all varieties of suffering assemble. The physiological sufferings that include hunger, coldness, illness, fatigue, and the mental and emotional sufferings that include anger, hatred, sorrow, fear, and disappointment. When the body is undergoing all these sufferings, it simply cannot break free. How can it be independent and have control? Therefore, we can see that the self, as we have defined it earlier, does not exist. Hence, the Buddhist teachings state that all dharmas do not have a substantial self. The absence of a substantial self, anatman, is the foundation of the middle way. It is the fundamental teaching of Buddhism. The absence of a substantial self is the unique teaching that differentiates Buddhism from other religious or philosophical doctrines. 3. Nirvana is perfect peace. This statement means that no matter how chaotic things are in this world, they will eventually become peaceful. No matter how different things are, they will eventually become equal in the end. Indeed, the state of nirvana is full of peace and equality. According to Buddhism, when the state of nirvana is attained, all afflictions and the cycle of birth and death will be extinguished. There will be no more suffering, equanimity will be attained, perfect wisdom will be realized and all delusion will be eradicated. Ordinary people think that nirvana is attained only after death. Actually, the definition of nirvana is without birth or death. Nirvana means the extinction of clinging, the elimination of attachment to the concept of self, and attachment to the concept that things are real. It is the eradication of the obstacles of defilement and the riddance of the hindrance of knowledge. It means putting an end to the cycle of birth and death. Nirvana is liberation. Defilement is bondage. A criminal chained by shackles has lost his freedom. Likewise, living beings are bound by the chains of greed, hatred, and ignorance. If living beings practice the Dharma and put an end to these defilements, then they will all be liberated and thus attain nirvana. Other than going through this process, nirvana is not to be found in any other way. During the Buddha's time, the Buddha's disciples traveled to different places to teach the Dharma after they had attained nirvana. From their example, we can understand that nirvana is not something that can be attained outside of dharmas. All dharmas are originally nirvana. However, since the minds of living beings are obscured by ignorance, delusion, and clinging, and by thinking that the self and dharmas have a substantial existence that can be held onto, they encounter obstacles, hindrances, and bondage everywhere they go. If we can be like the Buddhist sages, who understand that all things arise due to dependent origination, then even though we still exist in this world, we can realize that all existence is ever-changing and lacks true self-nature. We will no longer be attached. Wherever we are, we will be liberated. Liberation is nirvana. Some people say that life is like an ocean, in which there is perpetual motion, with waves coming one after the other. The continuous movement of the ocean exemplifies the impermanence of composite things. If we can look at the waves through the eyes of the Buddhist sages, we then soon realize that although the waves are turbulent, the nature of water is always calm. Likewise, life is an endless cycle of birth and death, but real self-nature is always abiding in a state of perfect peace. Thus, if we want to attain the liberation of nirvana, we have to realize it through impermanence of all composite things and non-substantiality of all dharmas. It is impossible to find a state of perfect equanimity of nirvana apart from impermanence and non-substantiality.